going to another church after I'm done here. I'm going to Bedside Baptist Church. Amen. Pastor Sheets. And we're taking snore requests. Amen. And so I've got to finish this service before I go into the next one. But thank you so much for what you're doing. And I met your pastor, a lot of years now. And first met him in the Philippines. And he came over with Brother Caleb. And man, we bonded together with Brother Caleb and Brother Shears. And God began to do some special things. And over in the Philippines, we started a mission conference. And people started coming. And of course, Brother Caleb and Brother Shears came every year. And we stayed in the guest house together. And man, we had some good times over there. But the most important thing was people kept coming to the mission conference. And this is way back in the mountains of the Philippines. I mean, it is way back. We didn't have any restaurants, hotels. We didn't have anything. We didn't even have bathrooms and whatever. They took baths at the river and just whatever back in there. And so, but God began to bless. And Brother Shears and Brother Caleb came. And we began to preach missions. Amen. And, of course, missions is church planting, soul winning, many things there. But missions is getting the gospel into all the world. Amen. And so many people say, well, we fulfill the Great Commission, and they'll always go to Matthew chapter 28, and they're going to say, well, we're doing the Great Commission. They'll go, we're winning them, we're wetting them, and we're working them, and say, well, we're doing it. Well, you're not doing it until you do it in all nations. All nations. And so this church is doing that with your missions program and your missionaries or whatever. And so, Brother Shears, I just wanted to tell you, you have fruit from those mission conferences. Thank you for sending your pastor to the mission field. Thank you for sending their people. In that mission conference, young people surrendered to start churches. They surrendered to go to the mission field, and now they are going. And I am visiting them on the field. We got some in Nepal. We got some in Thailand, Burma, and other countries. But the missionaries are going, and fruit from what you did. So what the church has done. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 6. I won't be long tonight because I haven't seen a bed for a while. Amen. But in John chapter 6 is a very familiar story. And I want us to look at this. And as I said, open your Bible. Always remember that not everybody has a Bible. Not everybody has a Bible. And I don't know about you, but I value my Bible. I value it over my house, my car. I can always find a place to live. But the sad truth of it is you cannot always find Bibles around the world. We were in Burma. Going to Thailand and Burma, we had a hard time finding Adam or Judson's Bible to go into the Burmese people and to work with it. That's the only thing that they have available. Man, we were buying them. We were searching them. Why? We wanted to take. They were selling them on the Thai side, so we were smuggling them back. We smuggled them over. We went over into Burma and took them over. So, man, you have a Bible tonight you need to thank God for. Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 1. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to him, said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down. And in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of his fishes as much as he would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that were had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus said, this is of a truth the prophet which had come into the world. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Father, thank you for this opportunity, Father, that we have tonight to participate in a thing that you love so dearly. And that's the world. That's people, all languages, all tongue, all kindred, all nations. And Father, I pray that you'd help us. Father, I pray that you'd never help, you'd work with us, that we would never come to the place that we would get immune to having a mission conference year after year. And Father, I pray that you'd touch our hearts. Now, Father, I need your help in a special way tonight. Father, guide me, help me with my thoughts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I was looking at this portion of Scripture, and this is an amazing portion of Scripture, and I have been very spoiled. God has been very gracious to me and my wife, and I have been very spoiled. The Gospel came to me. I wasn't looking for it. Thank God that God sent the Gospel to my house. Now, I don't know about you, but I wasn't looking for the Gospel. It came to my house, and so from my house, the Lord allowed me to take it from my house to the country where we were, to the city, across the America and around the world. And as we read the Bible, when we look at these Bible stories, I'm a very simple person. But when I grab something, I get a hold of it, I hang on for dear life. And I may not know a lot, but I've been able to see the Bible in action. God has allowed me to travel around the world. I have spent 15 years in the Philippines, 15 great years in the Philippines, working with those people there, starting churches, had a Bible college, sent out missionaries, got young men in the ministry now, and been able to do that. And not only that, afterwards, God allowed me to leave the Philippines, and then He asked me to love a world. And boy, I'll tell you what, to love a world, that was a great task. I said, God, now you have to teach me how to love a world. I'm still working on it. But I'll tell you what, the more I travel, the more I see in the places that I go, man, it's easier to love people from other places around the world. We look at this mission conference, and you've had a mission conference for many years, like I said when I was praying. Don't get immune to having a mission conference. Well, this is just another year, another time. No, but you'll be surprised in what this church has done throughout the last year. Amen? I'm going to say something. It's hard to get people excited about missions. It's hard to get Baptists excited about anything. Amen? If some of you are tired tonight, I know you're tired, I'm tired. Boy, it's a shame what you have to eat before you come in the service. Amen? Right. And boy, I'll tell you what, we'll suffer through that. But I hope that you come to the place that you never, never get satisfied with where you're at in your Christian life. I hope God's got some more things for me. I'm praying. Boy, last year I left here. I was not feeling good during the conference last year. Went home and found out I was half dead. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, man, you're a mess. I was getting ready to go to Africa. Man, I tell you what, we're going to take a group to Africa, and I headed that thing up and was getting ready to go, and we bought Bibles, packed suitcases. The day before we left, man, I had some internal bleeding. I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to go to Africa, and we were going to go back in the bush. We were going down to Botswana, and we were going in different areas down in there, Zemba. I'm thinking of the name of the country now, but we were going down there, and I thought, well, you know, I better get this checked out. Went to the hospital. The doctor said, a couple hours later, he called my daughter's house and said, you better get your father-in-law to the hospital right now. Man, he said, both kidneys are plugged. I mean, they were plugged too. And man, I went in the hospital, 3 surgeries in 2 days, and all of a sudden, but you know, just to go through that, and I was disappointed because I couldn't go, and I don't know about you, I still have more to do.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not backing off. I'm not retiring. I re-enlisted. And I was on the operating table, and I was laying there and getting ready to go in, and they put me under a couple of times. Man, it's starting to get scary in the hospital. Man, I was on the operating bed there on that gurney, whatever, and they're getting ready to put me under. And man, people running around with monster drinks in their hands. You know, there's energy drinks and whatever. I'm thinking, man, they're coming up with a needle. One of them's kind of shaking. My wife went down to the vending machine in the hospital. But they're awful. And 90% of them had monster drinks in there because the people were working long hours or whatever. Man, they come up and started shaking at that. And I think, man, alive. And I said, well, you know, they said, Brother Heinrich, you talk fast or whatever. I'll tell you what happened to me. Well, the monster drinks spilled over and got in my IV. Amen? And that's what keeps me going. So, but I was laying on that table and I was thinking, did I do enough? Did I do it? Not for salvation. Alright? We can't do anything for salvation except Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Amen? But I was thinking, I went through 7 surgeries. I ran on the table. Did I do enough? Lord, if I came home today, could I face the Lord Jesus Christ and say, oh man, I did enough? And I said, Lord, I haven't even begun yet. I said, Lord, would you give me another opportunity? I'm asking God for 7 more years. Or 10 more years, 7, 10 years. I'm asking for more years to do something because I want to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ before I meet Him. And so as we look at this portion of Scripture, we see this here. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture, but so many times when we teach these Bible stories, we've got to be very careful that we don't miss the most important part. The most important part in these Bible stories is that God wants to reach all the people around the world. He wants to reach them from every nation, every kindred, every tongue. When you look at the feeding of the 5,000, you'll see this. This is just here. We say, well, the feeding of the 5,000. I don't know why we call it the feeding of the 5,000, because there were 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, when you start going around the world, you have 5,000 men, you'll have 5,000 women, and some of them have more wives than that, amen, and whatever, and then they'll have children. They'll have 10, 12, 15 children. So this crowd could have been a great, great crowd of maybe 25, 35,000 people. And we look at this here, but the truth of it is, if we see that, oh, the feeding of the 5,000, and we focus in on the lad and the five loaves and the barley, the fishes, and we look at that and we see that, but the truth of it is, as you go through the rest of the chapter, you see this. The whole purpose of this whole thing was that Jesus Christ is the bread of life, which goes down from heaven. Amen?
Right.
And so we see this here. We go through this portion of Scripture. And I like this. If I would ever have someone, everybody wants me to write a book, I've got a title for it. Only God knows. Amen? Only God knows. And that's one of my favorite sayings. And that, if you ever see a book titled, that would be Only God Knows. But when we look at this portion of Scripture, I had an opportunity to be in Thailand and Burma last week. Spent a couple weeks over there. And just an opportunity to be there. When we look at this chapter, I look at this lad, and he's involved in what? Reaching men, women, and children. Go to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll see this. Matthew chapter 14, switch over there. And look at chapter 14, verse 21. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, I want to thank you for all that you've done for me and helping me with praying for me and with the finances that you give when I come and different things. I have an opportunity to go over and see what your money's doing. Now, most of the time, most of you won't give because you really can't see what you're giving to. And you really can't see the results, all right? But I'm here to tell you tonight, your money is at work around the world. Amen. Read your prayer letters. Read your prayer letters. I mean, see what's going on. I have an opportunity to go around and meet with missionaries and different people around the world. I see what the finances do. I see what your prayers do. I see what you're giving. And those that go, I see what's happening. But I look at this. Men, women, and children. They're not just words in our Bible. They're not just words in a verse. Man, we went over there and we were getting ready, and they had Monty Sonoy was one of the young men that surrendered underneath the mission conference to go to Burma and Thailand when we had our mission conference. He's been over there now 10 years. He's been over there. It doesn't seem like 10 years, but he's been over there. And he's working with them, and he's helped get Bibles into Burma and just so many things, tracts and different things to go in. And he has his church, and they're getting ready to start another church. And they had a youth camp while we was over there. And boy, they were bringing in children from the refugee camp. And all these people were coming in. And one night we were waiting before then, and four men came in. And they were Buddhist men. They came in. We sat down. I got an opportunity to talk with them. Man, I talked with them for a long time. And I went through the plan of salvation. I must have went through the plan of salvation 4 or 5 times with them. And boy, I just sat there as I went through with an interpreter and in a lot of places you have to spend time teaching them and of course look at the Holy Spirit's got to do it all. Amen. That the Holy Spirit's got to work in them while you're teaching them and while you're giving them the plan of salvation. The Holy Spirit has to work in. I always get my Bible out and lay my Bible down because I want them to see that the Bible's there. Amen. It's not what I'm telling them. It's what God says. But the Bible is the instrument of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's why when I go solo, I would rather use a Bible first before a tract. Now, I will use a tract, but my first preference is to use the Bible. Why? It's the instrument of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit takes that Bible and begins with, man, I went through the plan of salvation and they didn't understand it. Then I went through it again and we're going through this. And these four men sat there. And man, they were discussing it among themselves. And I was watching their face and their eyes and I was really intent because I want to know for sure if they understood what I was saying. I want people to understand the plan of salvation, amen. It's not just something that you ask. I said, look, you just can't add this to what you already have. It has to be Jesus Christ flowing. So we went through it again and we went through it again. And you could see it, the Holy Spirit begin to work in their hearts. And boy, you say, what do you do when you go to a country? Well, you preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So look, you just start preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've seen this with those men. Those four men were taking it in, and they came back to church, and they kept coming back to church through the service of the youth camp. And then you see the women come in. And boy, I preached a sermon, and then the other night we started teaching them. We divided them up. I said, look, let's divide and conquer. We had a bunch of people there. I said, look, let's have the women go in that place, and the men over here, and the teenagers over here, and divide and conquer. But just to go there, and boy, to give the gospel of Jesus Christ, some of the people started getting saved. Now, some of them had been there for a while. They knew a little bit about Jesus. They knew a little bit about the Bible. And some of them started getting saved. And then the little children. God bless the little children, amen. For the little children that have had, and you work with the Burmese people, they're pushed out of Burma into Thailand. They're pushed across the border along with the Karen people that Adamai and Justin was working with. They're pushed across the border. Some of them go into Laos, some go into Thailand, some of them go into the other countries or whatever. Nobody wants the Karen type people that Adamai and Justin was with. But I don't know if somebody wants them. God wants them. Amen. God wants them. And they're pushed aboard, and they're forced to work in Thailand. And the sad thing about it is the Thai people abuse them because they're free labor. These Burmese people will come over and work, and they may work there for a month and not even get paid. No, the Thai people won't even pay them sometimes. And so you look at this and I thought, boy, and the little children come over. And then again, working with them. And I understand what the little lad was doing. And I understand what Jesus was doing in chapter 6. Let's look at this a little bit. Look at that. Man, I see Jesus here in this chapter. I don't know about you, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I love Jesus. Whatever Jesus is involved in, whatever Jesus wants, that's what I want. Amen? That's what I want. He loves the world. He loves men. He loves the women. He loves the children. And He always wants to do something for them. Here's what I want you to do tonight to start off the mission conference. I want us to look at this chapter and go through a couple things real quick. I want you to have a willing heart. Just a willing heart. Very simple. A willing heart. Would you be willing to let God work in your life tonight? Would you be willing to let God speak to you tonight? Would you be willing to see what Jesus sees? Would you be willing? Just a willing spirit. Man, I'm telling you, when I go around the country, across America, around the world, preaching mission conferences and preaching different places, it's getting harder and harder to get church members to be willing just to do what God wants them to do. I don't want you to do what I want you to do. I want you to do what God wants you to do. I want you to do what Jesus wants you to do. Man, I'm telling you something, Christians, in America, we are losing our passion, we are losing our spirit, we are losing our willingness to do something for God. The reason we have this mission conference is not just for the people in the pictures, which is good. When we look at those people in those pictures, the truth of it is we don't love them. We don't know them, but we love the one who knows them. Amen. Yes. We've got to understand that this mission conference is for God tonight. It's for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's for the Holy Spirit of God. I think we've lost focus on why we are doing things, and because we've lost that focus, well, it's just ordinary. You know what's killing us? We're settling for good over best.
Yeah, that's right.
Our churches, the way Christians live, we're doing good. It used to be we wanted God's best. Yeah. Now we're just settling for good. The enemy of best is good. Yeah. Well, I'm doing good. I'm a good Christian. Well, but God, you need to be the best Christian. You need to do the best for God. You need to do the best, amen. And so we look at this portion of Scripture and we go down through this. And I was just thinking about this on the airplane and had all kinds of time to think on the airplane. But I was going through this. Very familiar story with it. But sometimes we take these stories and we get too familiar with them that we really miss the most important thing. A willing spirit. Let me ask you something. This mission conference will be successful if we come together and have a willing spirit to do whatever God wants us to do this year. Last year's done and over with. Man, I never rest on what happened last year or the years before that. People say, well, man, how many countries have you been to? How many people have you seen saved? Man, I don't know. Man, I'm thinking about today. I'm thinking about tomorrow. Amen? So we look at this portion of Scripture in Jesus. The willingness of Jesus. If you take the four Gospels and put them together, and I don't have time to go through all four of them together, but Jesus had a willing spirit. He was willing to help people. He was willing to love people. He was willing to get involved in their lives. He was willing that they would get to go to heaven. Amen? We look at this. Jesus was here, it says in chapter 1, Jesus, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover and the feast of the Jews was nigh. But, verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, Jesus was concerned. And he was willing to take time. And of course, in Matthew chapter 14, we'll see this. John the Baptist is beheaded. And boy, Jesus was a worker. Jesus was not a sluggard. Jesus is a worker. You read Matthew chapter 14 and go through this. You'll see a day with Jesus and how he works with people and he goes and he prays. I want to tell you something. Prayer is work.
Yeah, amen.
Those who know how to pray and those who want to get a hold of God and those who want God to do something there, prayer is work. Amen? And so Jesus did this, but then he focuses. He was willing to get involved in people's lives. He's willing to get involved in your life. He's willing. I was on the airplane today, and I'll tell you all the things we were going through. I mean, all kinds of things. And then to top it off, I think, and people get frustrated when they're at the airport and they can't get on a flight. They get frustrated. Man, I'm telling you what, people get upset, and I'm thinking, I'm going to Montana. I don't care if I ever get there, amen? That's what, because it ain't going to make any difference whether I care or not. I'm not going right off the bat. But people, they're getting upset and whatever. And I'm thinking, I learned something a long time ago. Be careful what you ask for, you may get it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm sitting there back thinking, and I'm on the waiting list, and I keep getting bumped back, and they put me up, and I get bumped back. And there's no way I can do it. Well, they even canceled one, gave one of my tickets away before I got there because I was on the runway 3 hours and in flight for 2 hours, and it was a mess or whatever. But I'm thinking, folks, you're upset. I mean, you're upset, but can you get on there? What if that plane would go down?
That's right.
What if you got what you wanted, but I don't want to get on that plane no matter what? Not me. If there's a malfunction in that plane, I want to be on the ground.
Yep.
They said, look, if you're flying into Denver and it snowed a little bit or whatever, one of the heat things, one of the sensors went out or whatever, we can't go in there without the heat sensor because of the ice or whatever. So I'm complaining. I said, folks, trust me, better be on the ground than to be up in the air with a problem.
Amen.
Well, I finally got on coming up here. And Lord, behold, we're flying along. And I knew when we took off, the weather's been rough the last couple of days. The turbulence come. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Amen. I mean, I can face anything. The communist rebels, I don't got anything going. I can face anything except being up in the air and the turbulence come. Man, that old plane begins to shake. I tell people I'm a missionary or whatever, and so they say, well, he's doing all right. Yeah, he's the man of God. Yeah, I'm scared to death. Amen. But I can't show it. I'm shaking in there, and all of a sudden, and the stewardess up there with the tray going down the aisle, and everybody's shaking. And then, I don't mind it when the pilot says, look, we got some turbulence. Everything will be okay. Just buckle your seatbelt and hang on. That doesn't bother me until he comes on and says, all right, stewardess, you get in your little seat and buckle in. When they tell the stewardess to buckle in, you know you're in for a ride. Amen. I mean, I texted my wife when we got out in the clear. Been on the roller coaster today. God help us. Man, the people started grabbing the seat, hanging on that plane. I said, dear God, would you spare this plane for one person? Me! Oh, God, help us. Amen. My prayer life went up. Jesus, I'm thinking about John chapter 6. You care for people. Do you care for me? Amen. I'm not joking either, man. Will you keep this plane up in the air for me? Amen. I said, the rest of people enjoy it too. They'd like to stay up for me too. Amen. Because if I land, they're landing. All right. And so we look at this, but Jesus cares. He cared for the people. Let me ask you something. Would you be willing to care for those without the gospel of Jesus Christ? When you see these videos, and when you see people when you go to work tomorrow, or you go outside the door, or wherever you go tomorrow, will you be willing enough to care for them like Jesus cared for them? Now, I get to travel. I was in Burma. And over in Thailand, those people born in him. I like to help people physically. We gave away some food when we were over there. We bought some bags of rice and gave them to the children. We helped feed the orphans, and we helped feed Brother Sonoy's youth camp. He didn't have enough money for food. I thought, I love to feed people physically. Amen?
Amen.
I like to see people eat. You like to see people eat? Glory to God. Watch people eat sometimes. Man, you know Bernie. Bernie was in the Philippines. A preacher came over. And let's show you how smart preacher is, amen? And so anyway, he's outside taking pictures or whatever, and he finds a blue frog. There's a blue frog hopping around. Boy, he's going to call National Geographic and say, man, I found something that's never been seen before. This is not true. He was good. I mean, he's all hyped up about that frog. Well, Bernie painted that thing blue, amen? Bernie was our painter, and he paint, you know, he would paint. When the Filipinos would paint something, they had more paint on them and everything else except what they're supposed to have on. The dog, they had that. Well, Bernie, he's just a little skinny guy. Filipino people are black-haired, brown-skinned, little skinny guy. But when he'd go to eat, he'd take that plate, man, he'd get out and eat five of us in here. He'd take that plate, he'd put food on, and they'd make a pyramid on the plate. Now, these people were good. You ever see, watch somebody make a pyramid on that? They'd go to a buffet. I take them to a buffet sometimes, and I'm sitting there, they eat them. If I brought in four or five Filipinos, we'd eat the place out. Not because I'd eat a lot, but they get their plate, and they build a pyramid. I mean, they put each piece of food there, and they stack that thing up. And it's amazing how they stack that thing up. Man, I like to watch people eat sometimes. I had another student, his name was Gerald. I ain't kidding you. That guy could eat a ton of food. I mean, I made a rule. I teased him all the time. I said, look, before you come to my house to eat, you got to eat a bag of cement before you come in. At least the rest of us have a chance to eat. I mean, he'd eat four or five chickens by himself, rice or whatever. I like to help people. I love to watch them. I love to feed them physically.
Amen.
But more than that, I deeply love to feed them spiritually.
Amen.
I want them to be fed spiritually. I just spent time in Thailand and Burma, and I run out of money. God, man, I don't care how much money I take. I'm trying to buy Bibles.
Man.
I'm trying to buy Bibles, as many as I could find. I don't care. I said, you find them, I'll buy them. How do you do that? Sometimes my heart's bigger than my billfold, but I'll work it out, amen? Preacher knows what I'm talking about. We had to buy the Bibles. We found one copy of ABC of the Christian Growth. It's a disciple lesson, I think 26 lessons. We found one in Burmese. That's very unusual. It was put together by a Baptist church here. And I found that. I said, take it to the printer. This is what's going to cost money. I said, I don't care how much it costs. Take it to the printer. We're going to print 50 copies of that. But I'll tell you something. We need to win people to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Then we need to get them a Bible.
Amen.
Then we need to give them some kind of discipleship program or some kind of program of lessons that they can grow. And man, we got those. Man, we got the Bibles. And man, okay, we're going into Burma. Well, they said, oh, boy, preacher was talking with some of you guys talking about Canada. You can't say certain things. Man, I was telling me that Brother Sonoy them or give me the riot act. We had pens. I bought over a bunch of pens with the Baptist church name on. They said, you can't take those over there. You can't take those Bibles over there. You can't take the ABCs of Christian Growth over there. Don't tell me I can't. Amen? Because I grew up rebellious before I was saved. Amen? They said, well, you can't. I said, okay, maybe I can't. We had to go across the bridge to go through immigration or whatever. But the Thai people could sneak underneath the bridge and go across in the boat. I said, okay, the Bibles, everything's going over in the boat. And they snuck under the bridge and they went under and they met us on the other side. Well, we got to it. I went through immigrations, and they took our passports and said, we're keeping your passports. And I said, you can keep them, but bless God, my mama's coming after them if you don't give them to me when I come back. Amen? I said, you don't want to mess with my mother. And so we went over, and they said, you can't pass out these things. I said, okay, you can't pass them out to people. What was Easter Sunday? The thought come. We can't pass them out, but I can hide tracks like Easter eggs. Amen? I was going in the restroom, hiding them here. I came out where they're washing clothes. I was stacking tracks there. I was putting tracks here. I was thinking, well, Scott, we'll have an Easter egg hunt. We'll have a track hunt. Yeah. And so we went to the restaurant, and then one of the men said, well, you can pass them out here. Oh, bless God, why didn't you tell me that, man? We come back across the border, and I said, look, this may put me in jail, but here's some gospel tracks for you guys sitting in here. Amen. Look, I love it. I love it. Boy, Jesus said, look, I want to be involved. Are you willing to get involved in this mission conference? Everybody needs to do something, amen?
Right.
Everybody needs to do something. We see Jesus, he was willing. Then I like the little lad. The favorite Bible story, and the one that I would probably pattern my life after, because when I first got saved, the first Bible story I read was that of a little lad. I was 21 years old when I got saved. came down at the altar, working at the church one time, and waxing the floors and mopping them and doing all kinds of things. While I was waiting for the floors to dry, I came to the altar, and the only story I knew, I said, "Dear God, let me be that little lad."
Yeah, amen.
Dear God, I'm not asking you for anything else. I don't care if nobody knows my name. We don't know much about that lad. We don't know where he came from. We don't know what his name was. We don't know much about it. I said, "Lord, can I just be that little lad?" You know why? Because I could reach thousands of men. Thousands of women. Thousands of children. I said, "If I could just be that little lad, let me deliver the bread of life to men, women and children." That little lad was willing to go unnoticed. He was willing to give what he had. Would you do that tonight? Would you be willing? Jesus was willing to get involved. The little lad was willing to give. Would you be willing to give? Would you be willing to give your life? You young people. I took two young men with me to Thailand and Burma. And I'm so glad I did. I can't keep up anymore. I really can't. I had those surgeries last year. Those seven surgeries have taken something out of me. They've taken it out of me physically, but not up here yet. Amen.
Amen.
I couldn't keep up with them, but the young men could run. They could run the motorcycles. Now I went a different direction. Amen. I went into Burma. 106 degrees when we passed over the Burma border. Out there in the heat, I said, "Look it, man, I'm coming." But the young men, they went ahead and they were going down the street winning people to Christ, and I'm coming behind them doing the same thing, a little slower than them. I challenge you young people tonight, give your life to God. I'll tell you what, if we're going to save America, if we're going to reach America and plant churches in America and reach the world, it's going to take you young people.
Right.
We can't keep up anymore, preacher. I can help. I can go along and encourage. Boy, it hurt me. I can't go out this afternoon. 106. I can't go. Been out all morning. Going out. I hate it when I have to stay behind. It kills me. But I'm to the point in my life, I can't keep going the pace I used to. It's time for you young people.
Yeah.
Like this little lad said, "Look, and I'm willing. I'm willing to give my talent. I'm willing to give my treasure. I'm willing to give my life. I'm willing." I wonder if there's some young person here tonight you say, "I'm willing."
Good.
Willing. We see that. Not only we see Jesus was willing, we see the little lad was willing. We see the disciples were willing to work. But before we look at their willingness to work, look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 19. And we look at this. "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude." We see the loaves, we see the disciples, we see the multitude. 3 words. Where do you find the disciples? In between the loaves and the multitude. You know why we're losing today? Because our disciples, our church members, those of us who are saved, are not between the loaves and the multitude. We pulled ourselves out of the middle. We go in our own direction, doing our own thing. We like being comfortable. We like being at ease. We like where we are in our comfort zone. And I don't want to get involved. I may have to work, and it may cost me something. So we've pulled ourselves out of line.
Right.
Now there's hardly any people between the loaves and the multitudes. Before we look at this, though, you see Philip and you see Andrew. In the beginning of the chapter, they weren't quite willing to get involved. If you look at Matthew chapter 14, send them away. Like many of God's people today. People sitting in this room. You look at the lost and dying world without the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you say, send them away. Just ignore them. Let them go their own way. If they go their own way, they'll die and go to hell without Christ. The disciples. Jesus had to spend some time talking to them. Would you be willing to let the Lord talk to you tonight about being willing to get involved in your mission program? Willing to get involved in your church? For the disciples at first, they weren't willing. How can we do this? I like this. Look at John chapter 6. And you look at verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, now look at this, when shall we buy bread? I learned something 2 years ago in John chapter 15, I think it's verse 5. For without me, Jesus said, for without me you can do nothing. For some reason the light went on. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. You know what he's saying? Do it with me. Do it with me. I've done many things for him, but I wonder how many times I just didn't do it with him. Now I, every time I pray before I preach or prepare sermons or whatever I do two things. I go to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I beg God for the Holy Spirit power. When I'm tired, when I'm weak, whatever, I say, Holy Spirit, you got to work. Then I go to John chapter 15, verse 5, and say, Jesus, can I preach with you tonight? Can I go soul winning with you? Can I teach with you? So many times, Jesus, I've done it for you, but now I want to do it with you. He said, when shall we buy bread? Jesus never expects us to do it alone. He never expects us to do it without Him. He said, look at the multitudes are there, but can we buy bread? I just wanted to challenge you real quick tonight to do this. To have a willing spirit. I don't know what God wants you to do. Not everybody's going to go to the mission field. I know that. But you ought to be willing to go. You ought to be willing. Not everybody's going to be able to go. And I hope everybody will be willing to pray. I hope everybody will be willing to give.
Yeah.
I'm just asking you to do this, to start this mission conference off. Would you be willing? Would you have a willing spirit to let God work in you within the next couple of days in your mission conference? This task looked impossible. 3,000 people. 2 barley loaves and 10 fishes. It looked impossible. But with a willing spirit, Jesus said, I'm willing. The lad said, I'm willing. The disciples got on the right page and said, I'm willing. With a willing spirit, you can do the impossible. With a willing spirit, you can do the impossible. So tonight, I want to do this. I want to challenge you. Will you have a willing spirit? Oh, man. I'm unwilling. I got a selfish spirit. I'm not going to do it. I'm sure so glad that when Jesus looked at me, He didn't say, I'm unwilling to love Him. Unwilling to go to the cross for Him. How about you? Let's pray. Our dear